Welcome to Easy Email Marketing. I'm your host, Yael Keown, mum, FIFO wife, MBA, coffee lover, survivor superfan, and creator of The Email Experience. In Easy Email Marketing, you'll benefit from my nearly 20 years experience, where I'll be teaching you all the tips, tricks, and insider info on how to create feel-good, non-spammy experiences for your subscribers. Let's get stuck in. Welcome back to Easy Email Marketing. I'm your host, Yael Keown, and in today's episode, I want to share a quick tip with you that will save you a lot of sanity when using your email marketing software. So I see this all of the time. Someone starts with a shiny new email marketing software, a totally clean slate, and at the beginning, it's clean and it's easy. You're still kind of finding your way around, but you only have like one or two forms, or you have some lists or groups and a couple of automations. But then over time, you add another lead magnet and another lead magnet, or you change your mind about this welcome series and you want to experiment with different emails. Or you want to start experimenting with segmenting and sending emails to different groups, or you want to add this extra automation and that automation, or you want to add some preferences, like allowing someone to opt out. And before you know it, you've got dozens, if not hundreds, of tags, a ton of automations that you don't know what they do, and you're unsure if your unsubscribers are actually getting the right emails, and it all becomes just all too overwhelming. It is enough to make you pull your hair out and give up, or put your head in the sand, or often the case is that's when people come to me and go, can you just sort this out for me? But today I wanted to share a secret that I think will make it so much easier for you, a hack if you will, and that is naming conventions. And this can be used no matter what email software you use. You can apply this strategy. For example, in ActiveCampaign and ConvertKit, the heart of the naming conventions would be around tags. For Klaviyo, it would be your lists and segments. For MailChimp, your tags and segments. And for MailerLite, your groups. But for ease of conversation, I'm going to be referring to tags mostly through this, but know that it can apply to lists or segments or groups. This is the heart of what we were talking about anyway, but we will extend it to sign up forms and automations, etc., in a little bit. So stay tuned for that. But we will begin with tags. If you aren't familiar with tags, they are essentially labels you can organize your subscribers by. So you can choose to add or remove tags in automations, or you can add and remove them when someone signs up, or if they're imported from somewhere, or like it's a Zapier, or sometimes you can even add them when someone like clicks a link in an email. There's tons of different ways you can add and remove tags. So when it comes to these naming conventions, I have three rules. The first rule is to tag everything, or, you know, have a group for everything or a list for everything. So you want to know exactly where someone has come from and what path they take. And tags is the easiest way to keep track of this. Sure, you can go in and create a dynamic segment and try to figure out who opened what emails and who signed up for what particular form. But I find that quite tedious and not helpful when you're trying to put together this map of the experience that your subscribers go through. So that's the first rule. Tag as many things as you can. So every time someone signs up for something, tag what they signed up for. Every time they move through a welcome series, tag that they're going through that. The next rule then is to have that naming convention. If you just name a tag guide or footer form or category A, but then you use a different convention for the next thing, it becomes very difficult to find everything. So I'd love you to ensure from the beginning that you choose a naming convention and stick to it. Or even if you do have already things set up, it's not too late. You can definitely go back in and rename them. So here's what I recommend when it comes to a naming convention, and it consists of three parts. Part one is what I call the action. What is happening? So it's a verb. Typically, it's the action the subscriber takes, or it could be the action that you are going to do or that the software goes between. So a few examples are opt-in or lead magnet, or you can just do LM For short, because you know we like to have these short. It could have welcome, could be one, category, another, purchased, opt out, promo, waitlist, any of these things that are meaningful to you in terms of an action your subscriber has taken or an action you want them to take, this would be what you use. And this will put, what it will do is it will put similar activities all together. So all your opt-ins will be together and easy to find, and it'll all be nicely alphabetically sorted for you. So if you're trying to find it, you can do that. So I typically, what I do is I have this word, and then I follow it with a colon. So opt-in, colon, then the next part, which is part two, where we want to use a noun or what it is. So this is the main describer. So this is where you would put guide or discount code or category A or course name or the product they purchased or the service they booked, whatever that is. So if we put the two together, it will be opt-in colon guide or opt-in colon discount code or category colon category A. So now you've got this second one, which is what it actually is. So the first thing is the action, and then the noun is what it is. And you can still search by these as well, so you will be able to find them. Then the third part is optional, and I call this extra context. So say, for example, you have multiple rounds of a program, you might want to add next to it, you know, it could be joined, colon, program name, hyphen. I like to put a little dash hyphen thing before it. And then I go April 2024. So I've got like a date, so I know the date range. Or perhaps it could be the category of person that has signed up if they've chosen a certain thing. And this way you can just have any extra context you need in case you need more than one thing under that. So three parts. First part is action, followed by colon, and then the noun, so what it is. And then the third part is optional, and that's any extra context that you need. So we're basically labeling everything. So our examples are opt-in colon discount code or purchase colon course name dash April 2024, or it could be welcome colon category A. So we've got different welcome experiences for different people, etc. So this is just one suggestion. That's the main way I do it. Of course, if you think there's something more meaningful for you, you can choose the naming convention. The key is that you can find it and that it is meaningful to you. However, there are some cases where we do see slightly different conventions helpful. For example, if you have more than one business or you have really distinct audiences, you may want to start with your category first, or the business name if it's different. Normally, I like to use an acronym here just to save space, but having something meaningful, then the colon, and then you follow that with the action and the noun and any extra details. So you might end up with four things. Then also, there might be some that you use purely for routing. So what I mean by this is that instead of trying to remember how an automation is triggered or trying to remember how a zap adds someone to your software, what I like to do is create tags for these steps. So for Zapier, I would have a tag called zap, colon, and then the name of the zap that I use. So now I know that this tag is associated with Zapier. And you could do this for any software that can add people to your system. And when I'm using Zapier, I would have add tag, and I'll make sure that tag is added. And often that tag is what triggers off any action that I want that zap to take once someone moves across to my software. Also within automation, so say if I want to start another automation at the end of one, yes, you can often do this within software and just say add from one to another, but it can become really confusing and you sometimes forget how one starts and you end up with something that doesn't have a start and it's a bit daunting. So in this case, I use trigger. So I have trigger colon as the actions, as that first part, and then I would name the automation that it triggers. So it could be trigger your onboarding. So I have this for my Thrivecart integration. So anytime someone purchases something from my Thrivecart store, I have trigger colon TC for Thrivecart, and then it will trigger those things off. I also have ones like, okay, if someone is, if their subscription is about to end, I could have a trigger colon TC to annual membership, something like that. I can't remember the exact wording I've got, but then that will trigger off an automation that's got the same name. And so I know, and it's just easy to manage it. So that's the naming convention part. And I already having something like that will save you not only a ton of mental effort and space, but just make things feel easy for you. But there is a rule three, and this is where the real magic comes in and the real secret. This is naming everything the same. So here I'm referring to your sign-up form, your tag or group, and the automation that goes with it. So for example, if you had a guide as your lead magnet, you would have a tag called LM colon guide or opt-in colon guide. So you can easily link everything. You would also name your sign-up form LM colon guide and your delivery automation LM colon guide. And then after that, you might say trigger colon welcome, or you might say welcome colon guide. So you can add these layers and everything is the same. If you have more than one form that you sign up for, like you might have a footer form and you might have a pop-up form, maybe you use the extra context section for the form, but not the tag. So it's LM colon guide dash pop-up. So you can still identify where they have come from and which form it was, like that form is there, and it's still got a unique name for the form, but it still all ties back into the thing. And now you can find everything. You know what goes with what. Your system feels clean and nice, and you could even hand it over because it's so easy to explain to someone on your team, okay, everything that is to do with this lead magnet or this process is named this thing. So hopefully this has inspired you a little bit to do a quick reorganization of your software. I'm kind of likening it to when, you know, I watch some of those cleaning TikToks and it goes, oh, I really want to get in there and do it. So if this has got you interested and excited, get in there and do it now while you've got the dopamine going. But if you did want more guidance on this and very similar things, I have some how-to email marketing software courses. These are for ActiveCampaign, MailerLite, and Klaviyo. And I go into more specifics of how I recommend you set up your software. So I go through this process exactly for each of those pieces of software, but I go into a whole lot of extra detail in pretty much everything else. So you can find these in the email marketing superstore at yaokeown.com/shop. Or if you are just like, Yael, please do this for me, you can head to the Work With Me page on my website at yaokeown.com and see the different ways that we can work together. It could be just a quick 90-minute strategy call and we get in, we roll our sleeves up and smash it out. It could be a day or it could be over a period of time. There are a few choices. So check that out or reach out via Instagram if you're just not sure. And you can find me there at yaokeown. So thank you so much for joining me today. I would love to hear from you about what you've used from this episode or what you want to know more about in the future. Please let me know over on Instagram. Otherwise, I will see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to Easy Email Marketing. It's an absolute honor that you chose to listen. If you love this episode, then it would mean the world to me if you could leave a review so that others can find this podcast and make their email marketing easy too. Finally, make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a thing. Until next time, have an awesome day and make sure to keep showing up and serving in those inboxes.